best friend and the boy next door. Fool for love and fool on fire. One coming from the rain. She's oceans running down the drain. Blue as ice and desire. Don't you wanna make her? Take her home.
Classic Hits Radio.
I love the 80s and 90s music. They really do play the best of it.
Have it on in the car non-stop. Know all the words to the mid songs. They have the grandchild singing all the 80s songs.
The home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Your home of the 80s and 90s in Clare Galway.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Shadows fill an empty heart as love is fading from all the things that we are but are not saying. Can we see beyond the scars and make it to the dawn? Change the colors of the sky and open up to the ways you made me feel alive, the ways I loved you, for all the things that never died, to make it through.
The best of nighttime talk.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hello, good evening. You're very welcome along to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. My name is Lauren O'Sullivan. You've got me for the next two nights. I'm brand new. I can't wait to get to know you. And hopefully you'll get to know a bit about me as well. I would love to talk to you tonight. We've got some great topics lined up on over the next 3 hours. You can text at any time. The number's 087-188-0008. And like I said, I want to hear all about you. I've been listening in to Gareth and Gary and Jeremy over the last couple of weeks. It's my time tonight and tomorrow night, so I am dying to hear from you. Get involved in the conversations. I know you have lots and lots to say. So a little later on in the show, we're going to be talking about planning your own funeral, if that is something that you have ever thought about, the kind of music you'd like to play, get in touch. I know it's not for everyone, but if you've ever thought about the kind of party you want your family and your friends to have to send you on your way, get involved in the conversation a little later on. I also want to talk to you in the next hour about OnlyFans and whether you feel you'd judge someone you know for their sex work online. If you've never heard of OnlyFans, don't worry. There'll be an education in the next hour here on Nighttime Talk. So get involved. Loads to chat about. My name is Lauren. I can't wait to talk to you. Text 087-188-0008. But first up, we heard in the news today that the Paris Olympics will be feeding the majority of the attendees vegan food, plant-based, no meat. So apparently this is to reduce the event's carbon footprint. And the organisers of the Paris Olympics have announced that 60% of the food served to the public will be meat-free. So there's been quite a reaction to that online today, and I would really like to hear your thoughts. Like, firstly, if you were paying all that money to go to the Paris Olympics and you couldn't get a burger, how would you be feeling about that? And in all seriousness, we do know there's been so many documentaries, there has been so many studies. It is better if we try and go a little more plant-based. Have you tried eating less meat in your diet? Have any of those documentaries made you think twice about your diet? Do get involved in the conversation and let me know tonight. 087-188-0008. Joining me on the line now, though, is Catherine Woods. Catherine is a psychic, a spiritual healer and a vegan. Catherine, you're very welcome tonight on Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks for having me on. I'm delighted to be on.
Catherine, I'm presuming that you thought this was great news when you heard today that the Paris
Amazing. Amazing. It's a pity it's 60%, not 100%, but it's a major step in the right direction. First of all, animals are not food. They are not food in any shape or form. The horrors of the abattoirs, the factory farming, what humans do to animals today is it's the devil work. It's Frankenstein work. It is horrendous. We have no right to take a life. And if we can have a nice, you know, vegan soya burger that tastes like chicken, why would we not choose compassion on our plates? Also, I'm always saying this to everybody. Every pandemic came from animal consumption, and about 99% of illnesses come from eating processed, chopped up animal flesh. You know, there's no difference between eating your dog, my rescue dogs lying here at my feet, and my rescue cats, and eating cows and sheep and pigs and chickens. There's no difference. It's all wrong.
I think, Catherine, look, it is something that people have very strong opinions on, and I'm sure we're going to hear from people who agree with you. I'm also sure we're going to hear from people who don't, because eating meat is something that humans have done for thousands of years, and I know a lot of people argue that we've got to change. But
slavery was there for thousands of years, and women couldn't vote for thousands of years. Thank God we're evolving from cavemen. That's all I can say. Cavemen, by the way, were 86% vegan as well. That's a new study that's come out recently. Like, no matter what you can get from animal flesh, and actually animal flesh, when it comes off the poor animal, is blue. So the first thing they do is they dye it red. Then you have the antibiotics that are pumped in, the growth additives, the hormones. I mean, I don't know how anyone eats animal flesh. I just don't know. I mean, I'm a very healthy person. I've never been sick. I'm absolutely vegan, animal activist. And I beg people to stop eating animals. And the people who will come on and say, oh, I have a right to eat a burger, I'd say just Google and watch the videos. Watch Earthlings, watch Cowspiracy, watch Pigspiracy.
I was asking if people have changed their opinions after watching these documentaries. Because Cowspiracy, I think, you know, a lot of people thought twice. How long have you been a vegan, Catherine?
I've been a vegan 13 years, but before that I was a vegetarian basically my whole adult life.
Okay.
But I gave up eggs and milk a long time ago. It was like 13 years ago, it was just a little bit of cheese. Now my taste buds are so sharp.
I couldn't give up cheese. Was that the hardest one for you?
Well, you could, because I'll tell you why you could, because the little baby calf, the male calf's throat is slit at a day old because he's useless in the industry. And the really unfortunate ones are stood in a veal crate for 6 months. They cannot rest, they cannot sleep. The poor animal, imagine if you couldn't sleep and you were forced to stand for 6 months. What right have we to do that for a slice of cheese? Please Google and taste the vegan cheeses. They are amazing. I just last night had a tub of Ben and Jerry's vegan ice cream. I ate the whole lot. It was so good. It was amazing. It tastes the same. It tastes the same without the blood, guts and cruelty.
Catherine, can I ask, like for you, obviously you're extremely passionate and there is text rolling in already, some agreeing with you, some disagreeing. Do you get a hard time for being a vegan? Like, is it difficult to get a meal out?
Not at all. I do this live work regularly and, you know, I particularly love when the dairy farmers come on and take me on, and they're so angry and they're so full of anger and rotting animal flesh. It's what's making them angry. I say to them, I'm not getting angry. I don't raise my voice. I don't swear at anyone. I just tell people the facts. You can get your protein, everything you need from a plant-based diet, and you can choose compassion over cruelty time and time again with your choices. Vegans do as little harm as possible. We're not perfect. We do as little deliberate harm as possible. We don't deliberately pay someone else to murder an animal that's spent their whole life in a cage. And the latest things, you probably have Googled this, the latest thing is in the factory farming, all the chickens now have cancer. And it's all chopped into your lovely chicken burger. They don't even cut the cancer out of the chicken anymore. I saw a video the other day on Facebook about it.
There's a lot of videos going around now. And look, I haven't seen them all. And obviously, this is something that you have well researched. So I'll take your word for it.
It's horrendous.
So for you, Catherine, it seems to be that you're an animal lover. Like, it's not about the taste of meat for you. It is that you love all animals.
Oh, absolutely. And I have no right to take a life. I mean, I'm a spiritual person. I'm a healer and a psychic. I have no right. There's no holy book in the world that says we have a right to take a life. We have no right to take an animal's life when we can find exactly what we need in a plant-based diet. We need to choose compassion over cruelty. Please think about the suffering of the animal. I mean, imagine the mother cow. She's impregnated by machinery. She's actually raped by machinery. And then they take her baby at a day old, they impregnate her again, and they attach these massive tubes to her to keep the milk coming. For a drop of milk in your tea, why not just choose and drink the oat milk that has, by the way, B12? A lot of the meat eaters are going to come on and say, where do I get my B12 from? My oat milk and my edamame beans, that's where I get my B12 from. I don't take any vitamins. Vegan diets do not need to be supplemented if you eat properly and learn to cook. I have four massive Akitas, rescue Akitas at my feet. They're also plant-based. I cook their food every day.
Your dogs are vegan?
Yep, I cook their food every day. And one of them recently had her bloods done and the vet said her bloods are perfect.
Really?
Perfect.
Now, tell me this. Like, if I was to put down, like, a freshly cooked steak in front of one of your Akitas, are you telling me they turn their nose up at it?
They probably would not know what it was because they've been vegan for so long. They probably would eat it, to be honest with you, but as a responsible owner and because I love my dogs and I don't want them to get cancers, which is eating meat is the leading cause of cancer, and dairy is breast cancer, prostate cancer. Like, I've researched all this because I'm a healer. I mean, I've had people, you know, we'll go back to the dogs. So yeah, they would, and they might try and eat a chicken bone in the street, but the minute I take it from them, it's like they don't think about it. They just walk on because I bring my treats in my pocket. So today I'll just tell you what they ate. They ate the same as me. They had lentils, they had celery, they had spinach, they had kale, they had apple, they had chickpeas, and they had beetroot twice today.
They're going to have massive purple poos later.
Well, they have lovely healthy poos. This is another thing. I have four of them and they weigh 186 kilos. And I can actually, I have nappy bags because they're so big. I can pick up their poo in one hand. It's not messy. It's not over hard. It's what a doctor would call a perfect poo. You know?
Now, look, there is a few texts coming in, right? And people kind like making the points that, like, plant-based agriculture can still cause harm to animals, you know?
I said that we do as little harm as possible. We don't deliberately pay people to slit animals' throat and to keep them in a cage for their whole pathetic little life.
And do
we
you
do
think,
as little harm as possible.
Do you think that there is maybe dairy farmers out there that, you know, they're doing things as humanely as possible, that efforts are being made? Surely there is inspections on farms. Surely the efforts are being made to not have animals suffer.
I'd say with all the veganism rising, and it is a very slow but steady rising, it's not a very slow, it's a slow but steady rising army. But yes, there have to be changes because of the pressure we're putting on them. But they're still going to take the little baby calf away from the cow at a day old, and they're going to kill him if he's a surplus to the industry. And if he's really unlucky, they're going to stand him in a crate. To eat veal, that's going to make you sick. You know, eating meat is going to make you sick. That's it. It's a fact.
A lot of people are texting in, and I just want to read out this one from Shannon. She's been in touch on 087-188-0008. Plant-based diet is all well and good, and you can call it compassion, but more accurately, privileged. Plant-based is expensive, and substitutes are expensive. No, fresh food doesn't last, says Shannon. What do you say to that, Catherine? No.
My dog's food. I have cut my dog's food bill by 2/3 by cooking my dog's food. 2/3. I cook it. A kilo of lentils is 95 cent in Aldi. Mm-hmm. It's also 95 cent in Dunnes. That's one meal. A kilo of rice is €1 as well. How can that be expensive? Kidney beans are 19 cent. So when I see something on offer, I saw jackfruit there recently. It was 24 cent. Pure protein.
What's fruit, jackfruit? Fruit. I always hear people going on about jackfruit.
Yeah, it falls off the trees in Brazil. I believe it's all over the streets in Brazil. And you literally can do anything with it. You can cook it. You can make a steak out of it. You can put it on your pizza. And my dogs eat it out of the tin. They love it. So when I see something like that on offer for 27 cent, I buy 4 trays of it.
I just want to read out this text from PJ, and it is actually something that's come in a couple of times, Catherine, and just to correct this, because I feel it's important.
Yeah.
There is no significant difference in the cancer rates between vegans and non-vegans. This is misinformation.
Well, of course there are. If you do a survey of any hospital, our HSE is on its knees, people with clogged arteries from meat, heart disease from meat, the fat in the poor animals. I saw recently a horrific video where it wasn't in Ireland, but it was another country. And just before they brought the pigs for slaughter, they pumped raw sewage down their throats. They opened their throats with a pipe and they pumped in raw sewage. And then all the animals have cancer. They have cancer lumps all over them. And they don't chop them out of it. They just get chopped into your burger. The World Health Association has come out and said eating processed meat will give you cancer. That's a fact.
That's a process, yeah. Look, okay, Catherine, I want to really hear from people who've... If you hang on the line there, don't go anywhere on me, because it's so interesting and I really appreciate you coming on. But there are so many messages coming in. I would love to speak to people who have maybe tried going more plant-based, have found that it has worked, hasn't worked. I'm on 087-188-0008. And would you consider going more plant-based? What are your thoughts? We started this conversation talking about the news today that the Paris Olympics will be feeding the majority of attendees vegan food. 60% of the food available at the Paris Olympics will be vegan. What are your thoughts on that?
Can I say something about the Paris Olympics and the athletes? They would have the highest, most qualified nutritionists in the world. So if they're bringing in 60% plant-based food, what does that tell us? Top athletes in the world going vegan. What does that tell us?
Would you be happy enough if we were all going maybe vegetarian? Do we have to be flat out vegan, Catherine?
I would love you to go vegetarian to start, and then what will happen is you'll realise that eggs are hen's periods. There's no such thing as free range or organic. There's no such thing. I don't believe the inspectors at the time to go around.
You don't believe? Like, we don't know.
No, I don't
that.
Believe. No, well, I don't believe it because, you know, I've seen the videos on Facebook. If anyone wants to just follow me on Facebook, you'll see the videos. I put them out daily. The abattoirs, the factory farming, the outdoor access for hens. I just don't believe it. I mean, there's rescue hens in Ireland, just gone to a rescue, and they don't even have a feather on their body. They also de-beak hens in their senses. They don't give them any anaesthetic. They slice through their little sensitive beaks. It'd be like someone slicing your nose off. What gives us the right to do that to an animal? What?
Get involved in the conversation with us on Nighttime Talk here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. The text number is 087-188-0008. Catherine Woods is a psychic and spiritual healer. She's also a vegan, extremely passionate on this topic. And Catherine, I hope you stay with me for another couple of minutes. But I'm going to bring Dave in on the conversation. Dave, you're very good to join in. Good to have you.
Hi, Laddin. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's my first night, Dave. I'm delighted to have you with me.
Laddin, you're a pain of blinder. Glad to be here, Gilly. Tell me this, Laddin. How dare that woman coming on spreading wrong information? Number one, I'm an ex-butcher, okay? And I worked in an abattoir. I never once used a stick in an animal. Number two, she was on about animals when they're slaughtered that they're blue. I don't know how kind of videos she's watching. Total lies. And from my own information and my own point of view, I think that and I'm not against vegans. Clear pay to them if that's the road they want to, if that's what floats their boat, let it float it. But sure, vegan is the most processed food going. My God, look at the stuff inside in any vegan. Sure, it is repulsive. My God, when you can get, if you go to the small butcher in the country town and buy your bit of steak, buy your bit of mince, you can eat better. And that's proven over and over. And the thing with her dog, that she's feeding her dog, she said a couple of pity I never buy her. Now, I'm out now feeding animals, right? It's a pity I never buy her. There's a couple of statements she made there, which was total. And I'm not getting angry, and I've no problem with vegans or anything else like that. But, like, look at any vegan food inside in any supermarket. Isn't it, it's horrible to look at. I've never eaten it. I couldn't eat it. You know, and so you can buy a bit of steak. If you go to a small butcher shop in every town, which is in every town, and they're buying it, there's no, it's not coming from one end of the world where half these chickpeas and all them stuff is. Where are they coming from? And what stuff are they spray, you know, that they spray stuff on them to keep them fresh and to make it last longer and all that?
Now, the best of nighttime talk.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
The home of the Kim Wilde 80s show.
This is Kim Wilde on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. First, a tune that really brings out my rocky side. Love this intro from Rochford.
Monday to Thursday from 6 p.m.
on the home of the 80s and 90s. Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
CAO Change of Mind is closing soon. Until then, your options on what and where you study remain open. UCD is in the top 1% of global higher educational institutions, shaping students to rise to the future, to leave their mark on the world. So if you're still thinking about your CAO, you have until July 1st to explore your options at ucd.ie/CAO. UCD, future focused.
The best of nighttime talk.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Catherine, can I bring you back in there? Like Dave is saying, as a butcher, he's always acted humanely towards animals, and he has a big issue with like a lot of vegan products being processed. So what would you respond to that?
Well, I just explained that I make my own dog food, so he mustn't have listened to the first part of the story, the first part of the interview. I make my own dog food. Lentils are just pure protein, as are beans pure protein, as are peanuts pure protein, and they're grown without any cruelty. So why would I not choose compassion over cruelty? The other thing is, who mentioned a stick? I never mentioned a stick. That's very strange that he should say I never used
you're
a stick in an abattoir.
You're
about
cruelty. You're about cruelty.
Oh, yeah.
You're
coming on, yeah.
Never mentioned a stick.
Excuse me, no. Did you not mention about cruelty in abattoirs? That you had videos and all that?
Well, yeah, what do you think the animal... Okay, what do you think the animal feels? They go in whole, screaming for their lives, smelling the death
excuse
of their colleagues who just got in... And then they come out dead. They come up dead. They come out dead, chopped up body parts. There's no humane. There's no humane way. There's no humane way to kill an animal who doesn't want to die.
Can I ask Dave? Sorry, Catherine. Dave, can I ask you, like, in your time as a butcher, like, how do you humanely kill an animal? At the end of the day, you're killing it.
Yeah, are stunned, okay? Yeah, and number one, she was on about calves and they're killed at the old. They're not killed at the old. And inside, in an abattoir, the calves have to be, they have to have enough room. They are fed before they're slaughtered, number one. And number two, they have to have enough room to lie down and rest before. And they would not be allowed into the lair in the abattoir if there weren't enough room for them to, every one of them, lie down and have enough room to lie down.
And is there regular inspections, Dave?
They're on site. They're on site. The vets are on site.
Okay. I was talking about the veal crates where they stand for 6 months. And you're telling me, listen to yourself, Dave. You're talking about they're allowed rest and you feed them before you slaughter them. What gives you the right to slaughter a living being that doesn't want to die? You've no right.
And what are you going to do with them?
I've seen the videos. I've seen the abattoir videos. They scream for their sad little lives. And we have no right to take a life of an animal. We have no right. That's why everyone has cancer.
They give you cancer.
Sorry?
Well, you're saying that meat gives you cancer.
Yes. So does the World Health Authority.
I'm 62 years of age, okay? I've been a butcher. What's I've been a butcher all my life, and I have no cancer. And the doctor told me I want the healthiest man going into his practice.
My well, GP. There's always an exception. So, there's an exception to everything, isn't there?
Yes, I know, I understand. But
you know,
you
why
know,
would
like,
you not, what, just listen, why would you not have 2 tablespoons of peanut butter instead of slaughtering an animal to take a steak?
I've tried eating peanut butter. It's repulsive.
Full of protein, as are every bean, every chickpea and every peel, every lentil. They're all pure protein grown without any cruelty.
Are they grown locally? Do you grow all your own chickpeas and all your own nuts and all that?
No, I don't. I don't have time to grow my chickpeas, but I do grow some of my vegetables.
And I try to
buy organic and free range as much as possible. The vegetables and the fruit.
Where are they coming from?
I try to buy Irish, to be honest with you, as much as I can. But if I need protein and I need chickpeas, I will buy a tin of chickpeas because I know there's no cruelty involved, as there is cruelty in killing an animal who does not want to die. There is no way you can humanely kill an animal who doesn't want to die. Nothing gives us the right to take an animal's life. End of.
Dave, I'm going to get you to hang on there, and Catherine yourself also, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Thank you so much for your thoughts so far in the conversation. You can get involved. It's 087-188-0008. But I have Andrew also waiting on the line. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much.
And hi to Catherine, a fellow vegan. I've been vegan 10 years myself. Yep.
What was it for you, Andrew, that you wanted to give up eating animal products?
I watched a documentary called Earthlings, which had the actor Joaquin Phoenix, the Oscar award winner, and also Moby, the musician. And it was just showing standard farming practices across the world. I'd never really forced myself to look into what happens from farm to fork before, but I was really confronted by the graphic imagery. And it was just so savage that I just thought to myself, I don't think that my taste pleasure can really justify that level of suffering that we put the animals through. I knew that vegans exist, and so I have to look into this, because if it is possible, I'll do what I can to avoid participating and funding that. You know,
you're exactly who I was looking for, Andrew, because I said at the start of the show, I was like, I want to speak to someone who's seen one of these documentaries. I have got to be honest, I have not been big enough to watch them because I'm afraid. Mm. And that probably sounds really ignorant. It is ignorant, but I just, like, I'm a meat eater. I eat a lot of animal products, and I just, and like, my best friend's a vegan. She's like, you've got to watch these documentaries, and I just don't know if I can. But like, was that just it? Never again? You never ate meat again after that?
Never consumed any animal products within a week. I gave up everything.
Even cheese, Andrew. Like, I was saying this to Catherine earlier.
Yeah, no, once you have a strong enough motivation, and I guess you know, you care about animals, and it's kind of it's a good human quality that we all have, is the ability to put ourselves into someone else's shoes or someone else's hooves or scales or whatever. You know, we all know that they are sentient. If you had any companion animals, you know, they have personalities. It's easily recognizable that they suffer and they want to live and they want to have a family and have freedom. We have protections for those companion animals. Like, you can pay a large amount of money or even jail time if you make them suffer in a very slight way. But we just give a pass to what happens to farm animals because we've been told, unfortunately, by the medical industry for a long time, that this is necessary for your health, suggesting that we're like obligate carnivores. But we know from our evolution that we're not. We're evolved from apes, and they mostly eat herbivorous foods. So I think we've just been hoodwinked, and, you know, there's no denying that animal foods are satisfying in that we like the texture, we're used to growing up eating that. They're salty, they're fatty, they do satisfy, I suppose, our taste pleasure. But given that we like to think of ourselves as a nation of animal lovers, surely taste pleasure shouldn't equal, you know, like a death sentence just because you're born a pig or a cow. It's called speciesism, you know, like favoring some animals over others simply because they're born, unfortunately, as a pig, and you're locked into a crate for 6 months out of the year. One of the most intelligent animals on earth, I think possibly the fourth most intelligent of all. So yeah, we just really need to look at this. And you're right, if you do look at it, you will change, you know. And it's just a matter of being, I suppose, emotionally honest with yourself and saying, look,
I don't think I really don't think I can. Yeah. And Catherine, you were describing some really delicious tasting food earlier on.
Yeah.
I just, and I promise I'm not trying to upset either of you. I understand that you're animal lovers. I have had pets. I love animals. But I don't think I could give up meat. And I like the taste of it. Lauren,
why do you not look at what you pay for? Why do you not look at the videos of other people slaughtering animals for your plate? Why don't you look at what you pay for?
I don't know, maybe like a lot of people listening, like I'm conditioned to be like, we eat meat and we eat animal products. And
as I said, slavery used to be legal and, you know, women didn't have a vote and we could go on and on. We've evolved from cavemen, thank God. Thank God. And we know that vegans are very healthy. I've never been sick. I don't get the flu.
Like when you said that earlier on, it didn't. I was like, I'm a really healthy person. I don't eat a huge amount of meat. I do eat some.
But do you not think, Lauren, I can say that my body is a garden. Yours is a graveyard.
Oh, I think that's a bit harsh, Catherine. Like,
if you eat animals, you have a graveyard in your stomach. That's what you have. Inside me is lentils, barley, oats, vegetables, fruit, nuts.
Yeah, I just don't think about it the same
way. I mean,
way.
Animals have no voice, so that's why we have to be their voice. They have no voice. God bless them.
Like, don't misunderstand. I take no pleasure in, like, the harming of animals. But I just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. What makes me different from yourself and Andrew? Why myself and Dave feel differently
Hopefully one day you will take a peek at the videos. And normally, like, I'm a healer and a psychic, and my clients, I beg them to watch it. And I say, no, you must look at what you pay for. You have a responsibility to look at what you pay for. They ring me or text me to say, oh, my God, Catherine, I watched 5 seconds. I'm done. That's it. Oh, my God, 5 seconds. I'm done. Where will I go? Oh, I'll tell them what to buy, what to substitute for their protein, their vitamins, their iron. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to be vegan.
Hello, Catherine.
Can I cut in there, Lauren?
Andrew, if you want to go, we're having quite the conversation. If you're just joining, we heard in the news today that the Paris Olympics will be feeding the majority of attendees 60% plant-based food. And I want to hear your thoughts on this. We've been speaking to Catherine Woods, who's a psychic and spiritual healer. She's also a vegan. Extremely knowledgeable and passionate about this subject. She's made some excellent points. We've also spoken to Dave, who was a butcher. He doesn't buy into this at all. They're still on the line with me. And we also have Andrew, who we just left you on a bit of a cliffhanger there, Andrew, before the ad break.
Okay.
So you're also a vegan. What did you want to say?
I was just going to invite you and your radio show to come along and maybe... come to one of the my daughter there is giving out. She's in the background trying to get her relaxed.
Sorry,
also a vegan
of
3.5 years. That's my daughter.
Oh,
she's giving out.
Sorry,
she wants to. Could you want to cover on you? Sorry about that. Domestic stuff.
Okay.
You know, I was going to invite you to come along to, there's like a monthly kind of street activism that some of us do with Anonymous for the Voiceless is the name of the group.
Okay.
So at the top of Grafton Street, a group of us come, we're all vegan animal rights activists. What we do is we have televisions that show standard farming practices in Ireland, the UK and across the world, where people have gone in with secret cameras and planted them in, I guess, where the farmers weren't aware, and get the footage out, because we want the industry to be transparent so people can make informed choices and they know what they're paying for. So we are there and we just talk to the public. We want that to be on the table or on the menu for discussion, and generally it's not much like religion or politics. You don't possibly talk about who is on the dinner table, I like to say.
Okay.
So you're showing graphic footage. We do that. Confronting yourself. You know, the industry shields us from that, and they have a lot of welfare stamps of approval and welfare. You don't have to worry about it yourself as a consumer.
Okay.
But we are showing, I suppose, the brutal truth, you know, on the street.
You're coming in and out a bit there, Andrew. So I'm going to come back to you in a sec. Thanks a million, and just maybe check on your daughter there, and I'll be back to you. But an open invite to myself and Nighttime Talk to go along and I suppose be educated. And Catherine, you were saying earlier on, like, that's what it's all about for you, is educating people. About
what am I willing?
Are you still there, Catherine?
That,
sorry,
you
there
know.
You are.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry.
Can you hear me?
I just had the wrong microphone up. Sorry, Catherine, you start it again.
Sorry, yeah, you said to me I was a bit harsh saying that my body was a garden and meat eaters are graveyards. But what could be harsher than slitting a poor little animal's throat that doesn't want to die? What can be harsher than that? What? There's nothing.
Okay. Well, look, Catherine,
for people to look at watch 5 seconds of any of the videos. I'll come along. I'm actually a member of the Cube of Truth, but unfortunately, every time they're on Grafton Street, I'm collecting for the Husky Rescue, where I'm a long-term volunteer. So I'm actually a member of Andrew's Cube.
How do you have time for anything? You are the busiest person I've ever heard.
I do. And I do lots of other animal stuff. I'm a member of Sentient Rights Ireland. Anyone listening in, Sentient Rights Ireland is a political party just for animals, animal welfare.
What?
If you want to Google it, Animal Welfare, Sentient Rights Ireland.
A political party for animals.
Yes, headed by Dennis Neesel. And we need more members to be their animals' voice, because as I said before, they have no voice. Please join Sentient Rights.
They can't talk.
No, but they need us to be their voice, because we need to stop the cruelty and the slaughter. Think of the word slaughter of an innocent, sentient, feeling, being animal. We have no right. So Sentient Rights Ireland are an animal welfare group designated to animal welfare and to raise awareness and educate people. As I said, I do this stuff all the time. I mean, farmers do get very angry with me, and I say, I'm not trying to put you out of business. I'm trying to encourage you to grow oats, grow barley, grow lentils. Wouldn't it be great, like, if I could buy my lentils from Dave and my chickpeas from Dave and not to buy them from overseas? So, you know, there's a dairy farm in America closing every week. The demand has gone down.
Catherine, I feel like I could talk to you all night. We have so many things to talk about. I didn't even get to ask you about being a psychic. Like, what's that like?
I am. Oh, God, I'm a psychic and spiritual healer. I'm a call bearer, so I'm an actual healer. And
what's an actual healer? Like, what if someone says, I'm a healer, and you go, well, I'm an actual healer? Like, what's the difference?
Well, I just would like to know that what I work at is a very uncharted area. People can claim to be anything, but I was lucky enough to be born with a call on my face.
That's the biggest lot of sight I have ever heard in my life. You think you're the soul of one or some shit coming down here with your fucking healing ballot.
Hey, Paddy.
Now, the best of nighttime talk.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Classic Hits at Work
with Trina Mara.
Hey, it's Trina. We're on the show all this week with the Mallow Home and Garden Festival. It's back from Friday the 24th to Sunday the 26th of May at Cork Racecourse in Mallow. And to celebrate, we're going to give somebody a two-night stay at the four-star Rose Hotel in Tralee. Make sure you're here to win weekdays 10 to 2 on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, it's Dee here from Strip and Dip. I can't believe we've been stripping and dipping for 11 years now. This year's Strip and Dip is on Saturday the 8th of June in Wicklow, all in aid of our ongoing commitment to Aveen's Pink Tie, Ireland's national children's cancer charity. Ladies, let's get over 1,000 of you on the beach. Let's celebrate and participate on what will be one of the best days of your life. That's Saturday, the 8th of June in Wicklow. Register now at stripanddip.ie. Join us, warrior women. See you on the beach, 8th of June, stripanddip.ie.
Fight like a child!
Now, the best of nighttime talk.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
You're very welcome back to the final hour. I can't believe it's into the final hour already of my first night on Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. My name is Lauren O'Sullivan. I'm standing in tonight and tomorrow night, and you've been so good to me so far. I'm having a ball. And I really want to hear more from you. This has been a lot of fun and a lot of interaction. So in this hour, if you want to get involved, the text number is 087-188-0008. And I said just before the news, what I want to talk to you about now is a bit of death. Let's talk funerals and planning funerals and what you do when someone dies. Because look, unfortunately, death is part of life and it's something we all have to face. It's like the really cheerful music in the background. But it is something that we all have to deal with, and I personally think we do death quite well in Ireland. Like, I think death is very much celebrated as a part of life. And, you know, I have a lot of family in the west of Ireland, and I've gone to many a wake and many a really good session when someone dies. So I think in general, in comparison to other countries maybe around the world, I think we really embrace death and we're okay by talking about death, but maybe not as good as we could be. So I want to hear from you tonight. You can text 087-188-0008. About conversations you've had with your loved ones about what you would like to happen should you die, and maybe what your partner might like to happen or your family members might like to happen, because unfortunately these aren't our conversations that we don't always have with our loved ones, and then something might happen suddenly and we don't know what to do. So get involved. Let me know your thoughts. There's a few brilliant texts already coming in. I saw during the news someone wants Highway to Hell played as they go through the flames of the crematorium, stuff like that. And I think you do hear those kind of quirky stories, but I suppose for many of us, we have lost people in our lives. Like, I lost my mum really suddenly, and I didn't really know what she'd want. Myself, my brother, and my dad were like kind of picking music, being like, yeah, she loved Rod Stewart. Like, let's play a Rod Stewart song, you know, kind of thing. We never talked about it. And it's okay to have these conversations. Uncomfortable conversations are called uncomfortable conversations for a reason. I'm going to bring a friend of mine on the show with me now. Her name is Sinead Hingston. And I'm delighted to have her on air. And she's the first person I thought of when I thought we'd be talking about death today. Hi, Sinead.
I don't know what that introduction is.
Death fans. But Sinead, look, I've known you a really, really long time. And we'll kind of talk a bit about some of that as we get through the conversation. But for people who aren't familiar with you, you're not just my friend coming on the radio for a chat. You're also a mum, a parent. Sorry, yeah, a mum, a wife, a sister, a daughter. You're a widow, which you're going to tell us about. And you have quite a large Instagram following, over 23,000 followers. And a lot of that has come because of you having these uncomfortable conversations on your platform and talking about grief and death. And recently you shared photos of your husband's funeral. Tell me about some of the reaction to sharing those photographs, Sinead.
So I just put up a reel. Like, I'm very much of the mindset of, like, I just want people to feel more comfortable in uncomfortable conversations. And the more we talk about these things, the easier it is to talk about them. And a friend of mine, a really dear friend of mine, who is also now no longer with us, didn't tell me she was doing this, but she actually took photographs throughout the day of my husband's funeral. Like, to me, I was completely, was unbeknownst to me, but obviously other people could see her doing it. And she didn't give them to me for a couple of months after the funeral. And they are just the most, I don't even know how to describe them. I absolutely love them. And I know that might sound so weird to people, but I have very little recollection of that day. I can remember snippets of the day, but seeing the photos and seeing the people that were there and just little snippets throughout the day, they just mean so much to me. I share the real, I would share things every now and again, you know, about living with grief and the journey and how hard it is and how difficult it is to do. And you kind of, you're expected very much to suck it up and get on with it. And that's just life, and we're all dying. I mean, there's no getting away from that. But we live in quite a harsh world when it comes to living with grief. You know, we're not very soft with people who are doing it or trying to do it. It's like, at times, debilitating. It's, you know, it's really hard to do. So I kind of like every now and again to share snippets of what it's like. I got a very mixed reaction, and I haven't shared all of the photos. I mean, a lot of them I would never share. And the few that I did share are quite respectful, I feel. I've, you know, cropped them, but there's not other people in them. And, you know, but it's a funny one. Like, a funeral to me now, like, when I look back, I was 30 years old. You know, we had just got married. I was having to plan.
Well, let's go back in time to that, because I mentioned your Instagram following, and you know, you've spoken so beautifully and so honestly throughout your journey. But I suppose where we are now, I mean, this is going right back to July 2011. So for those who aren't familiar with your story, who maybe don't follow you on Instagram or haven't heard you interviewed elsewhere, Sinead, what happened to you and your husband in 2011?
I'm not to try and like make this short. We got married in December 2010. We got pregnant in April 2011. And in July that year, we went on holiday to Portugal. Thankfully, we actually went over with my parents, and Jeff's dad was with us as well. And on the day that all the parents were due to go home, we were to stay on an extra week. We went out on an organized boat trip. The boat anchored and they were bringing people in and out of the caves of the Algarve coast, and Jeff jumped in for a swim. Something happened to him in the water, and in less than a minute he was gone. That pretty much sums up that time of day. I was 19 weeks pregnant at the time, and it was all very surreal. I can tell the story now as if it happened to somebody else. I think I'm so used to talking about it and telling it. And my world, when I say it turned upside down, I can't even describe that fully in words, because we had nothing. We had, you know, we had no savings, really. We had just got married. We had that little bit of present money that we had. You know, we had no life insurance. We had no house. We were renting in the UK. We were both self-employed. So there was no lovely pension. it was all very scary. So I moved from London home to Dublin. I'm back in with my mum and dad, with my dog, my gorgeous Kobe at the time, and pregnant with Miss Lily, who's now 12. But yeah, very, very scary times. There was no Instagram back then. I think I had posted maybe one or two photos of life back then. It wasn't really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I have gotten so much out of sharing my journey. And, you know, as you say, like, people follow you because they can relate, or they need to kind of connect with somebody else who's been through hell, or just in some way, shape or form understands, I suppose, what they're going through. But yeah, like, looking back now, talking about funerals, like, I had absolutely no idea how to plan a funeral, let alone my husband's, when I was 30, you know. And I was a crazy hormonal person to throw into the mix as well, being pregnant. So I just...
Had you ever had a discussion about what would happen if one of you was to die? Had you ever talked about...
Oh, yeah.
..the music you would like?
No, joked in the sense that, you know, I had always said to him, if you go before me, I'll be right behind you. And I can tell you, honestly now, Lyle, the only reason that I'm still here is because I was pregnant with Lily. Like, I can put my hand on my heart and say that, because I wouldn't have survived that time without that focus, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we never talked about what would happen. Now, his mother had actually died quite suddenly in the January. So we had been on honeymoon in the January, and his mum had passed away 6 days after we got married.
Wow, oh my God.
Or 8 days, on the 8 days after we got married. So we had... We, I suppose, in a way, we just obviously just been to her funeral in the January. So we linked in with the, you know, the same funeral director, Crins and Glasspool. They were just incredible. Like, they, you know, it's like they knew us all, if you know what I mean, from that. That has only happened a few months before. So I think in a way that kind of helped me, because there was a lot of familiar faces walking in the door and having to plan everything when we got home from Portugal.
Yeah, sorry, no, you also had this journey home. Like, you didn't just have to do the usual, like, you know, wake, removal, funeral. Like, you had to bring him home from Portugal. So that in itself must have been quite an ordeal, and you're trying to process everything. Can you remember at any point when you started thinking about funeral arrangements, or was that, did people, like the funeral directors, just say, listen, you pick a coffin, do this, pick a song here, do that, you know, did you have much personal input?
I do remember doing a lot from Portugal. I have a terrible dark sense of humour now, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there in case anything slips out on this live radio show. But I do vividly remember sitting on the terrace of where we were staying, on my dad's laptop, with this floppy dongle thing hanging out the side of it, and a PDF of various different types and colours of coffin that was upside down. So, like, we couldn't figure out how to rotate the picture. It was like, when I look back, it was like something out of a comedy, like trying to select a coffin for a 37-year-old guy that kind of looked funky, but didn't look too funky, because, you know, that's not very traditional. And, you know, just the things that, like, I was like, well, I don't want, like, brass handles. Like, that's really old fashioned. I want something a bit funkier. And it was all, and you're quite restricted. Like, you want to do all the... I wanted Kobe at the funeral and I wasn't allowed to have
You
him
mentioned first. Kobe, your beautiful husky. Aww. So, yeah, and that's something I like. You hear people now saying, like, having pets at funerals, Kobe wasn't allowed.
No, he wasn't allowed in the church. I was in there and we got married a few months before and he wasn't allowed. And I kind of thought that they might give way the day of the funeral, but he wasn't allowed either. So, you are, as much as you like to think that you can do whatever you want, if you're having a traditional Catholic funeral, you are restricted in what you can do in ways. I mean, there's obviously lots of flexibility in other ways. But, you know, I think traditionally, I think the funeral itself was quite a traditional funeral. We had him at home. So we were in Portugal. It happened on the Sunday. And we finally got him home on the Thursday night. And I'll never forget it. Like, he flew home Aer Lingus. That was another thing. I was like, you can't fly home Ryanair. I remember being on the phone to the travel insurance going, I don't care
who
he flies home from Portugal with. It just can't be Ryanair.
Okay.
And he got him home with Aer Lingus. And it was just, like, from the moment we got onto the plane, we just felt like we were home, you know. It was just, they were so incredible. Like, I can't even describe it. They were just incredible. But yeah, then we were collected by the funeral directors at the airport and we were brought out to Glasspool, and they transferred him from one coffin into the one that we had picked on this computer laptop upside down picture. And yeah, so it was all, like, I mean, you genuinely just keep putting one foot in front of the other and you're just carried by your family and your friends, like, literally. And you're making these decisions and, you know, obviously now I can look back and I can kind of process it a bit and be like, oh, I wish I had done that differently, or I wish I had done that. But in the moment, you're just floating through this nightmare and you just hope that you get out the other side relatively unscathed, you know.
What would you do differently now, do you think?
Oh, I think I would have had the music much livelier. He was brought out of the church to You Raise Me Up, and I can't listen to that song now. I actually, if I listen to it, I heave crying. Like, I can't even catch my breath. And I just wish, I kind of wish I had made it more of a celebration of his life and not mourning his death.
But
you know,
it was
that kind
so
of way?
Tragic. It was horrific. So sudden. Like, how could you
so
not?
Horrific.
And then I'm sure everyone is there staring at you, pregnant, like, not even sure what to say. Do you know, I think, like, to be fair,
yeah,
like, I said at the start of the hour that, like, we do funerals quite well in Ireland. But I think what I meant was we do funerals of people, like, when it's their time quite well and we all go to the pub and we toast the person. But, like, a 37-year-old father-to-be newly married, like, how does anyone get their head around that?
Yeah, and I still can't. I mean, I still look back and go, like, what? Like, you know, we never really find out what happened. We think it was a jellyfish thing. Pretty sure it was. But, like, we'll never get full confirmation as to what happened on that day. And yeah, it's just so surreal. It just doesn't feel real. But then, yeah, like, little things like my friend doing that and taking the photos, like, all of those things.
When you saw those photos the first time, like, how did she tee it up, or did she just hand them to you? What was that like?
So she sent them all to me. She gave me a big email warning, and she had kind of said it to me as well. You know, I've taken these. You don't have to have them if you don't want them, but they are there if ever you want to look at them.
Now, the best of nighttime talk.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. We try so hard to give away big money every morning on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Honestly, we do.
Maybelline.
Oh, you got six!
You got
three.
No! No, the last one! Oh! Six.
That's why we call it Seven Deadly Spins.
But maybe you can go all the way.
Weekdays at 8 a.m. with Colm and Lucy in the morning.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
It's almost 7 o'clock.
Don't be the one to forget. Send your partner some love for your anniversary this year with Unpussed. Unpussed for your world.
Across Cork, Limerick, Clare and Galway.
On your phone.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
At 7, good morning, I'm Tina Gates. The Taoiseach has renewed his call for Israel to cease their military operations in Gaza immediately. Simon Harris spoke with Israeli President Yitzhak Herzog on Friday, where he expressed his deep concern about the potential for catastrophe in Rafah.
This week I have spoken to so many European leaders and indeed the President of Israel in expressing my absolute outrage on behalf of the Irish people that famine is now being used as a tool of war. We must also call on Israel to immediately desist from the violence in the Middle East, to see a cessation of violence.